should land near the entrance of the abandoned drain tunnel. Our ship can be well concealed there.
He was slinging pawns at a B&B when he had an epiphany.
I remember
the make a part in about time too about not playing D&D. It was free through all, and I heard him say, keep off my borderlands. But just sit back and let Spencer do his trick, cause you're incapable hands.
Hello and welcome to the 250th episode of Keep Off the Borderlands, a podcast about RPGs and stuff. My name's Spencer, aka Free Thrall, and to commemorate this bicentenarial episode, I've got a little treat for you. But first, some housekeeping. I just want to say I've had some really great messages regarding episode 249 on the whole 4D thing, which I'm very eager to address. However, this is neither the time nor the place for that. And my next episode is most likely going to be Moving Monday. And I'd appreciate your Dark Crystal messages before the 27th, please. Once all that's out of the way, I will get round to addressing that 4D feedback. Now, back to the matter in hand. I've a very special guest for this episode. My dear friend and gaming compadre, erstwhile podcaster, kit basher, game designer, improv extraordinaire, fighting brawl addict, twisted firestarter, Mr. Barney Dicker has joined me for the long-awaited 4 years, to be precise, third instalment of the Bastion Social. This was a bit of an impromptu affair when a gaming session was cancelled at short notice. I think it's fair to say we were both a little underprepared, but we had a great time all the same. I made the mistake of not recording locally, so my audio is not to the standards to which you're accustomed, but it's perfectly serviceable. With all that wittering out of the way, I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
Well, you know, Spencer, I'm your guest, man.
Is it me? Welcome to Keep Off the Borderlands, podcast about RPGs and stuff.
Excellent.
I'm Spencer, aka Free Thrall. And with me today is, do you want to introduce yourself?
I can do. This is still Barney of the post-existent Loco Ludus podcast. Very excited to be socialising with you this evening, Spencer.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
So why did I invite myself on this evening?
Well, it's a Bastion social, isn't it? It's a mythic social.
A mythic social. Yeah, it's very, very exciting. I mean, I suppose I could just use my crowbar here and say, well, you know, Tom Barberley might be a bit shocked to hear me out on the digital airwaves, but this one kind of landed in our laps, really, didn't it, Spencer?
Well, yes, the planets aligned. And here we are.
And with my almost complete tunnel vision from my blinkers, there's still Bastion Land in there. There's still Chris McDowell's, you know, gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. You know, if anything's going to get you to put your head above the parapets,
it's Mythic Bastion.
It's Mythic Bastion Land.
Yeah, good. Spencer, in my willful ignorance, I kind of almost completely passed that by. So, I mean, can you give a summary of the jump, Chris's jump from Electric Bastion Land to this?
Well, the way I understand it is that Into the Odd is your dungeon crawly approach to Bastion Land.
Mm-hmm.
Electric Bastion Land was more kind of point crawly, yeah, sort of urban.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Do you not agree? I'm sensing some.
I mean, I hadn't thought about it in that way. Keep going with this thought.
And this is, as Chris, taking it into the realm of the hex crawl, and, you know, wilderness questing. Obviously, there's the shadow of Pendragon looming over this one. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a bit more going on than that. I mean, not.
You mean not like,
I mean, there's
Pendragon
more
times
well.
Two, where there are two Guinevere's. No. And
I'm not suggesting. It's just, you know, taking influences from a few different things, I think. It's a bit more procedural than what we've seen before.
Okay.
From Chris. I don't know if you've looked at the there's a bit more to the combat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, treat
the stats
me like an absolute.
Have changed once again.
Oh, really? Well, can I just pause you for a second? So you're saying Into the Odd, Dungeon Crawl, Electric Bastion Land, Point Crawl, Mythic Bastion Land, Hex Crawl.
Well, that's the way I framed it in my own mind.
I mean, that's really fascinating. Because what you're picking up on there is, I guess, for Chris McDowell, that makes it interesting for him to explore those different possibilities, to make them different games a little bit, right? Even though there are lots of similarities mechanically. So that's interesting because, of course, you know, it's three different settings. So I was in my, you know, superficial naivety. I was just thinking, you know, Into the Odd is the kind of Victorian steampunky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Electric Bastion Land then, you know, builds on that with electricity and so on. And then the mythic game is unsurprising, but of course it doesn't follow a kind of, you know, a model of progress.
No. If I think a lot of people were expecting the next stage to be sci-fi.
Yeah.
What was it? Intergalactic Bastion Land or something? What was the proposed idea for that?
But, you know, it's all good. There are three different settings. You've talked about the three different kind of procedural aspects, I suppose, or the scale or something. And I hadn't, I hadn't thought of anything more that way. But anyway, look, tell us about changes to combat then.
Well, actually, I was looking for the little intro because I printed off a few pages. There's a nice kind of introduction that sets the tone quite nicely.
Let me just get comfortable, okay? I'm just going to get
comfortable.
Don't
mind me, yeah.
Okay. No, I don't mind.
Are you tucked in?
Yeah, I'm tucked in now. I can, like...
Right. On cold, misten hills, beasts witsome and fell, in holdings and havens the vassals adwell. Seers know the all, the star and the end, myths hushed aloud to which truth must abend. Aside vagabonds on snake-a-lean trails, knights render these stories a wrenched from their veils. For the oath, for the glory, through the sorrow and ache, the city, that quest to which no knight can make. So the city of Bastionland is this kind of mythical Avalon for these knights.
Well, you know, for Electric Bastion Land, of course, the other aspect there was that Bastion, this kind of city, got developed much more as well.
Mm.
So there's a kind of parallel, I suppose, with this one, where we're getting Bastion again, but in a totally different guise. We're kind of getting founders of Gloomhaven, aren't we, instead of just Gloomhaven.
I really like this kind of time dilation idea, that the closer you get to the heart of the city, the more advanced things are, the further out you are. And these knights are so far out. The city is a thing of myth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this, I think we should throw in a little reference to Amanda's game with the kind of the Grail Quest game. Oh my God, I can't remember.
Oh, the
Sun.
Oh yes, I've played it. I did an episode on it. It's the Sun. Great. Sun Guard.
Something to do with the Sun Guard.
Yes, Pilgrim of the Sun Guards.
Something like that. Can you put a proper link in the show notes?
I will put a proper link in the show notes, and I'll put a proper title.
Shocking.
To the game.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're thinking of going for a bit of Grail Quest and you don't want to get all caught up with Pendragon or whatever, go for Amanda's thing. It's really nice, really lovely. And I mean, I could imagine that you could almost create a character and feed that into this a little bit. But that's maybe by the by.
Well, yes. And let me just give you its correct title, Pilgrimage of the Sun Guard.
There we go. Personally, this kind of writing kind of irritates me, I have to say. I'm going to just say that.
Yeah, go for it.
Well,
wow,
you know, I wasn't
expecting this.
Well, you know, I've never read Chaucer, but I've heard some of it. You know, I've heard people talk about it, and you know, we talk about Chaucer and all of this kind of thing. You know, Chaucer was writing, if you like, best English at the time. This is old, like not. It's not. It's like Chris is brilliant, right? He's a great game designer, but he's not Chaucer, is he?
No.
I suppose generally this kind of overflowery RPG language, it's not what I'm here for. It's not what I'm here for.
Right. Well, that's fine, because that basically took up a page of the book. So
thank you. Because
it's not all written in that style.
What I'm really hoping for, Spencer, right, is an amazing list of 100 different failed careers or something like that, so that we
there's plenty, yeah.
There's plenty of those, because that's what
there's plenty of random generation spark tables and stuff like that. Mm. We've got the majority of the book, I believe, is what he calls the Apocrypha, which is
anecdotal shit. Is that right?
Is it anecdotal shit? Well, that wasn't what I was.
It's apocryphal. It's anecdotal. Isn't that the same thing?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess. Yes, you're right. It is.
Rumours, I suppose, or...
Well, there's. It seems to be separated out into each section. There's an example of play, and then there's his reflections on the example of play, and they all illustrate different aspects of the game, situations you might find yourself in.
Yeah.
But what I like is the character generation, I think, doesn't disappoint. But yes, I wanted to, well, you mentioned the combat, so let's get to that, shall we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe those three different stats or those changes.
Yes.
You know, Chris has got a great system which satisfies lots of people in lots of different ways, and the imaginative stuff is fantastic. So, you know, to my mind, regardless of whether he starts with a page of poetry or not, you know, Chris can keep on spinning new Bastion lands till the cows come home, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah. See, I thought I was setting the tone with that poetry. Apologise if I did a turd in your drink.
You probably did. You probably did for everyone else. And, you know, it's probably a good thing that I'm on indefinite hiatus. Maybe some people might, you know, take a bit of umbrage because they like their flowery RPG language. But, you know...
Well,
that's what I do.
Well, this is all about, you know, setting the tone, giving it that nightly. Yeah. And you know, Chris has his tongue firmly in his cheek, I think.
Absolutely.
With everything it does. So you are knights united by a common oath and a vision of the city. You have dreams of glory, but every knight must accept the risk of death. The seers who knighted you have deemed that you travel as a company. While some of you may rest, roam, or die, your collective journey will be as one. Mm-hmm. Knights have three virtues, which are vigor, strong limbs, firm hands, and powerful lungs, clarity, keen instincts, lucid minds, shrewd eyes, and spirit, charming tongue, iron will, and fierce heart. And hit protection has been replaced with something called guard, your skill at avoiding wounds. And I think I quite like that change because it moves away from the kind of HP confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it allows people to get to grips with, you know, what's going on with the sort of instant hit nature of the mm-hmm. combat.
Mm-hmm. So it functions the same. It's just some words have been changed. Is that?
Yes. Although there are feats in combat, which is something new.
Mm-hmm.
So feats, after using a feat, the user must pass a save or become fatigued. I haven't really got my head around this bit yet.
That's okay, but... Spencer. I don't think, I mean, we just want to create some characters today, right? You know, because... I suppose that, you know, to finish your overview of the thing, you know, it's not published yet, is it?
No, that's correct. Yeah, this is the pre-print version.
So, do you know when it's going to get sent to backers and all of that?
Very soon. I think it's all on schedule. I'm not sure what the dates are, but it's all. Ticking along as should be. There's been no delays or anything.
So once the backers get it, then it'll probably be available.
Yes,
I imagine.
Or it'll be available before then, as some of these things work out.
But I remember. I know that Chris likes to make sure, doesn't he? Yes.
I believe all people like to make sure that happens, but sometimes things
overtake
other things.
Okay, two thoughts about this a little bit. I really like the new names for the stats because they're, you know, they're familiar words, but it's just another step away from the kind of D20, D&D baggage, in a sense.
Yes.
It's maybe more evocative of the setting in this case, but you know, maybe that will stick and that can continue. And the other thing I think that's interesting is that Chris has talked about trying to simplify everything. I think it's so interesting now that he's, you know, really, really going for it. You know, now he's kind of making a slightly more complex game. I think it's interesting, this desire to design something really fundamental, like to reinvent the wheel in the simplest way, and then from there to kind of add things. I think that's a fascinating process, which I've done a bit. I'm sure you've done a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm very aware of that, this sort of tension within Chris to develop things and then strip them back and then trying to refine stuff, you know, coming up with new mechanisms and then deciding that they're not necessary at all and then kind of seeing how much of that he can remove. Because I know, what's the game that was based on an earlier version of this? Post-apocalyptic. What's the Eco-Mofos.
Eco-Mofos?
Eco-Mofos.
Okay, Eco-Mofos. David Bland. His very fine illustrator, whose name escapes me right now.
Yes, yeah. We need to pay more attention in rehearsal, shouldn't we?
It's all about the show notes, isn't it, Spencer? All about the show notes, because all people want
indeed
is a link. They give them a solid link.
Mm. Exactly, because they won't remember what's mentioned in the actual episode.
They'll just remember how positive we were and complimentary.
Indeed. So whoever he is, he's great.
Exactly. Exactly. and he's doing a top job on the whole Kickstarter thing as well. So he's...
Oh, yes, yes.
He's deep in there.
But the point I was making is that the iteration of Mythic Bastion Land that is based on no longer exists because of the way Chris kind of builds out and then strips back again. You know?
Yeah, fascinating. Totally fascinating. That's one for the footnotes of the historians of role-playing games, isn't it? That's brilliant. And I was going to say the same kind of thing. I wonder if any of the stuff that we talk about today will actually fall by the wayside for the final thing. There's always that possibility, isn't there?
I get the impression that things are pretty much, you know, what's there is staying there now. As far as I'm aware, it's just some art he's adding to the book. Certainly a looker. I don't know if you've looked at any of the art. It's the same artist who did Electric Bastion Land, but it's a very different style.
Alex Sorensen, I can pull that one out.
There we go.
Yeah, Alex Sorensen. I mean, he's great. He's great. And I think it's great for Bastion. I'm so chuffed for those combinations. Obviously, the reissue of Into the Odd, very lovely, all very good. But I do like Alex Sorensen.
Yes.
So Spencer, look, if we're gonna do a Bastion social, then we should create characters. What are our parameters for today then? Or you know what?
Right, okay. Well let's
You're meeting a bar.
Sorry, I've bought myself one of these vertical mice because I thought it would be easier for me to use. Do you know what I mean? It's like a wedge shape. Can you see? It's tilted on its side, so you don't strain your wrist while you're using it. I thought it'd be easier for me to use, but it isn't.
No.
Well, I'm still getting used to it.
Okay. All right. Have you strained anything using it?
I'm just the whole double clicking is proving a little more difficult than it should be. So apologies for any delays in my usual razor-sharp reactions.
Don't adjust your podcast provider. This is a normal technical hitch.
So, I mean, this is interesting because the stats, well, they vary depending on what kind of knight you want to be.
Yeah.
So you can be a wanderer, who is a young knight, Aaron. Okay. You get D6 guard, and it's D12 plus a D6 for each of your stats.
A D12 plus a D6?
Yes.
Okay, so look, let's just for fun, should we roll up two characters?
Well, yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I'll just say the next stage, you could start out as a courtier.
Right.
Where you roll D12 plus 6 and you get 2D6 guard. Or you can be a ruler, which is a mature knight who gets D6 plus 6 gold and D12 plus 6 stats.
Which page are you on?
This is page 6, Beginnings and Glory.
Arms and Goods, Warfare, 9.
It's after the contents page. It's the first.
After the poem, after the contents. Okay, Beginning and Glory. Okay, I see. Okay.
We'll be young knights, yeah? Young wanderers.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Yeah, we're good. So we're kind of... Out to make our mark on the world. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not up for that?
No, absolutely. Give me, if I have time to think about it, I'll say yes.
Right.
Is he doing character sheets this time?
There is a character sheet, yes, in the book.
Is it official?
Yes.
Because for what he's done before...
You're right, yes.
There's never been an official character sheet.
Yes. Right, well, I think just because this has got a bit more going on, there's some sort of there's explanation of the feats on the character sheet, and you've also got gambits and stuff about recovery.
Okay. Well, so we've got vigor, clarity, and spirit, and also guard that we're going to do, right? So you're going to roll one, I'm going to roll one, and we're going to come up with a kind of unlikely team. Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I've rolled a two for my guard.
Oh, right. Oh, you're rolling guard first.
Well, okay, I mean, it's the first thing in the book, isn't it?
Yes. But I'm going through the characterization. It's...
Well, what page is that now? What page are you on now?
That's the next page. That's,
okay.
Knighthood.
I see.
Okay. So,
so for vigor, clarity, and spirit, we're rolling D12 plus a D6.
Yes.
Yeah. I can roll guard again because it was a really crap result.
Yes, it was really crap.
Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. I just rolled a one on the 12. Christ.
Right. Well, that's...
Right, I've got six.
What, 12, vigor, respectable.
Yeah. I think I'm old. If I've got such low vigor, I must be old.
That's... Or maybe you're just, you know, too much partying.
Okay, I see.
10
I see,
for clarity.
I see. Oh, but I've got 14.
Wow.
No parties.
I got 15 for spirit.
Oof. Gutsy. Oh, man, I've got a keeper. You what?
I've got a keeper.
You've got a keeper. Well, I've got a spirit of four, so I'm...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm kind of disenchanted, cynical, unvigorous, but incredibly clear.
Well, I've just rolled a one for guard, so it could all be for naught.
Yeah, well, you know... In solidarity, I'll keep my two. We'll die at the first crossroads.
Okay, we will. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So we've rolled guard. Then we roll a knight.
Okay.
So if you go to page 24.
Okay.
So knights, right down the bottom there.
Page 24, knights.
Yes.
Well, it says people on... Okay, knights...
It's below, yeah.
Uh-huh.
From bottom.
Third from bottom.
You want to be on page 26.
We're on the same page, Spencer. Okay, this is very exciting.
Brilliant.
Okay.
For your knight, you roll a D6 and a D12.
Okay. Okay. I've rolled a four on my D6. What have you rolled?
I can't see because I rolled it under the my laptop stand. I've rolled a five and... a seven. So,
oh, what are you then? Oh,
I'm a fox knight.
The fox knight.
The fox knight. Yes, the fox
knight. I rolled an eight on the D12, so I am the iron knight.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, all right. The fox is good. That's good though.
Yeah, I like that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a fan of the fox.
Okay, so I'm still feeling this is a kind of old, tired knight who's still got his wits about him. So it's a kind of a name, the Iron Knight. You know, the vigor is not there, the spirit's not there.
He's just a rusty old knight.
Exactly. And you, the fox, anything with the stats that speaks to you about foxiness?
Spirit, I guess, is my strongest stat.
Okay, yeah, okay.
You know, obviously you've got you're wily fox, aren't you? You're a
survivor.
Yeah, survivor, yes.
You know, surviving on scraps and hiding in corners or something like that.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, I can certainly hide in corners.
That's good. I'm not sure my limbs will hold up to that. Okay. Well, I see on the next page, then it moves on to myths. Are we? Is that what we're doing?
Well, no. Actually, we have to look up the Fox Knight. You look up the Iron Knight. I look up the Fox Knight.
All right.
Because much like with Electric Bastion, there are tables associated with the... I hope you didn't get that belch.
No, I've got the Horn Knight, the Dwarf, the Dove Knight, the Tower, the Story Knight, the Chariot. So some kind of tarot stuff going on here.
Yes.
The Sun, the Tankard Knight, the Owl Knight, the Hooded Knight.
What were you? The Iron?
The Iron Knight, yeah.
Iron Knight. What did you roll for that? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I rolled four and eight. I've got a four and a three. It's so exciting. I'm on the edge of my chair.
I was going to say, we're really dragging out this
absolutely
character creation.
Yeah, don't you have an advertising break or something that we could have in between? Well, on that matter,
I don't know if anyone would buy anything from me.
Well, hopefully this is a glowing recommendation.
Yes, obviously. I've got no input here.
So, I found my page. Have you found your page?
Yes, I have, yes. And I'm going to note down the property. Yeah. A jagged blade, D8 hefty. Nice.
Okay.
A buckler, D4 armor 1. Fox helm, armor 1. Hidden blade, D6, see below.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a hidden blade table. So I roll 1d6 to find that dice again. Having a hell of a time here.
You don't there keep the hidden blade one. Hidden in a loaf of bread or anything, do you?
The trouble is I've hidden my dice. That's what's causing the trouble. Yeah. Twisted ebony blade hidden within your shadow. Wow, I like that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so you've kind of always got shadow with you. Very nice. Yeah, have you got more property?
Yes, I've got sealing wax. Can render any container watertight or airtight. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And tunnel steed.
Okay.
Which is, I've got stats for that.
Mm-hmm.
Vigor 10, clarity 10, spirit 5. Can see perfectly in the dark.
Oh,
mm.
Well, my property seems to be quite nice. I've got a cleaving blade, which is long, but it has it's 2d8 long. I guess that helps with distances, doesn't it? Or does that mean the damage?
Sure? Is that not that'll be the damage? Okay. Wow, that's quite formidable.
That's what I thought originally, and then I thought, no, it's always a 1d6. I thought maybe it's the length. Yeah, good. Okay, so I've got 2d8 damage with a long weapon. I've got chainmail, and I've got plate pauldrons as well. So armor 1. Yeah, well, the question will be, do they cover different areas, or is that a total of armor 2 for my whole body?
I imagine it'll be armor 2, but I'm not sure how much has been added to combat.
Yeah, that would.
Sure, we don't have hit location.
Yeah. Then the next thing for my blade, I've got an inscribed scabbard, which shows a different scene each morning, which hints at the nearest myth. So from that, I'm assuming then that we've got these kind of rumours. And we're following those rumours. And that means that every morning my scabbard is going to drip a little bit more knowledge.
Mm. Yes, everything here seems to have hooks and suggestions.
Nice. And my steed is a dark steed, which is great. And then I've got an ability, which is... we could go to the origin of the cleaving blade. Let's go to the origin of the cleaving blade. Here we go. It's been made out of a high waterfall. So it was made in a high waterfall at the time of, or during the time of, sorrow. That's my cleaving blade.
Mm.
Exciting.
So... Do you want to share your ability? Because I have an ability here and a passion.
So my ability is heightened sharpness. When I perform a strong gambit with a bladed weapon, I can choose one of the following effects. The target receiving a save as normal. I can take a limb or take a head if their guard is on zero. So nice. I could decapitate if I've whittled down, or if someone's whittled down the enemy. Huh? How about you?
That does seem good. My ability is cunning ploy. Once per day, declare your current self to be an illusion, dispersing into smoke. The real you is watching from a safe place nearby.
Oh,
interesting.
There's some interesting kind of, it's different, isn't it, to Electric Bastion Land?
Yes, much more magical.
And it's still a little bit weird.
Yes.
And a little, you know, quite open, but it feels a little bit more kind of serious, or
in a way. I mean, I think you can, you know, there's still room for, you know, playing with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's yes, the tone is more serious, but the fun is still here, I'm feeling.
Yeah.
If you agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, my first impressions of Electric Bastion Land going way back, you know, the different careers I loved, and this idea of being in debt and having the failed career. So I'm totally fine about this. This is all great and fine. But that thing I've really enjoyed is now not there in this. So it's interesting.
The motivations for play are very different here.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your passion.
Oh, yes. Passion, wits, restores spirit when you avoid being tricked or outwitted.
Uh-huh. I've got diligence, restore spirit when refusing a shortcut.
Ooh.
Hmm. These things, I think, are interesting, very interesting, because then they're kind of conditional on how you respond in certain situations. So
yes,
for me, that makes shortcuts kind of less attractive if my spirit has been whittled down.
And it tells us, it kind of obviously informs how you're going to play.
Mm.
If your spirits are down. I was just looking a little further down the sheet.
Yep.
We've got knighted by, I have been knighted by the Needle Seer. And I've got the stats for the Needle Seer.
Mm-hmm.
Figure 8, Clarity 14, Spirit 6, 4.
Go on.
Tall and slender, festooned with blades, pulls open small tears in reality, showing what could have been, but is now impossible. Wants to make other people feel bad, but begrudgingly does their duty to the realm. Yeah, I'm not sure how these seers play into things.
Hmm. Interesting, yeah. You know, let's absolutely talk about that for sure. I was knighted by the Celebrated Seer. I've got stats for that, and it says, clad in a coat of shining metal masks, each an expression of joy, only sees moments of intense positive emotion, more intensity granting clearer visions and pleasure, wants praise and elaborate celebrations, not really caring what for.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose these are the people that you owe fealty aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because then, so if every knight has been knighted by a seer or something like that, then they have this, you've got this NPC there who's been statted up. You've got the character of that person, which, you know, nicely gets you thinking about where your own character would fit. And underneath, there's some more stuff.
You've got that as well. I'm looking at that. I'm wondering what that's about. Person, anxious bell ringer. Name, Matilda. Characteristic, abrasive voice. Object, leathered bone. Beast, fat beetle. State, isolation. Theme, dreams.
I've got person, hardened scavenger. Name, Ellery. Characteristic, head in the clouds. Object, creation chest. Beast, tiger spider. I like that. State, celebrating. And the theme is fungi. So, if this is my, retirement age character, that, I've got to stop saying, haven't I? Hardened scavenger. So having retired, has taken on a life of some scavenging. I don't know what the creation chest is or the tiger spider, but celebrating, a kind of retirement era celebration, and fungi, that's good fun. That's good fun. Spiders and fungi, I'm happy.
Yes, I'm just wondering what this is referring to actually, in the sense that it's got, I mean, I've got the name Matilda. No, it's not Matilda. It's Maldita.
Okay.
I don't know why I read that as I know why I read it as Matilda.
So what persons and characteristics and so on have you got? Or did you tell me that? You told me.
Well, that was it. Yes, I went through that. You can listen back to the episode.
Absolutely, yeah. Was I here?
In spirit.
Yeah.
So I think we go back to the knighthood now, don't we? We go back.
Okay.
To... So we make note of the properties. So he explains what these things are now. Every knight has a dagger, torch, rope, dry rations, and camping gear. Every knight knows three feats. Those are detailed on page 10. Every knight has sworn the oath. Seek the myth, honor the seers, protect the realm. And then we can have squires.
Mm-hmm.
Small companies, two knights or fewer, may give each knight a squire. They serve as apprentices and are not yet knights, so cannot gain glory or perform feats. We can roll for those, but I don't know whether we'll.
I don't think we need to particularly. The focus on our fox and iron knights, huh?
But these work much like your. What were they called in Into the Odd? Your retainers, were they?
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Grunts, whatever.
Yes.
Shield.
Who can actually progress eventually once.
Electric Bastion Land as well. There's always that possibility to beef up.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, okay. So we've got these feats then. After using a feat, the user must pass a save or become fatigued. Each feat can only be used once per attack. Okay. And we've got three of these. And we can choose these by the look of it? Is that?
Well, yes. It's... Sorry, what did it say there? No, you know three feats.
Okay.
But you can choose during combat, can choose to use one of them, but you risk becoming fatigued.
Okay, so there are three feats that everyone has access to: smite, focus, and deny. And each of those has then three options. Yeah, so you've got a kind of bonus opportunity at the risk of tiring yourself out.
Yes. I mean, to me, it's, being a knight, it makes sense that the combat's a bit more of a feature here.
Mm-hmm.
It plays a bit more of a role.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, they do only, they're not three options. Sorry. There's a procedure. So if you want to smite, you use it before rolling melee.
Ah, right, I see.
And then the attack gains either D12 or blast, and you pass a vigor save or become fatigued. So you can either say, okay, I'm going to smite, focus, or deny. After feats, we have gambits.
Yes.
It says, gambits. Attackers may discard any number of attack dice of 4 or higher to perform gambits.
Right.
What's going on there?
Well, I guess we have to look at attacks then. Do we take the attack dice noted on your weapons, shield, and granted by bonuses? Okay. Go through the following steps in order. All combatants attacking the same target roll their dice at the same time. So that's Electric Bastion Land, isn't it?
Okay.
If the target or their nearby ally can deny, they may use it.
Mm-hmm.
Attackers may perform gambits. 4, take the highest die remaining. Add any extra damage with attackers who are bolstering the attack. Subtract the target's total armor score. The attack causes that much damage. So, yeah, it seems there's a few more steps to the combat there.
Interesting. So you'll have to come back and dig into that.
Yes. I'll have to play around with that. I think have a little skirmish or something just to get my head around that. I think.
Give me a call. I might be free. I might, you know, you can bludgeon my head in online.
It would be my pleasure.
Okay. Well, look, is there anything else we need for our characters that you're aware of?
I think there was more to the character page.
Okay.
Looking at the second page, because there's a bit more going on. I've got the tournament. Queen Cog and Blade, a challenge thrown. Blood must beat bronze, its metal shown. And I've got omens. From omen 3 onwards, when an omen is rolled, a horn is heard across the realm. The company only encounters the omen when they return to the seat of power where the tournament is being held. Ignore further omens from this myth until they do so.
Interesting.
So there's a bit more going on there.
So it's kind of the way the characters are formed starts to put pressure on the GM to incorporate certain challenges.
Yes, well, it seems that, yes, this all feeds into helping the GM create, you know, it's all prompts and sparks for the GM, I believe. I imagine there's more fleshed out in the referee section. I remember reading something about this, the kind of motives for your questing. There's a procedure for creating the hex map, and you dot things around on the map that relate to the omens.
Okay.
That, I guess, trigger those when you encounter them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think this is really interesting. If we kind of approach the whole thing as we find it, if you like, the GM wouldn't necessarily have a story. And if you've got then a mechanic where all of the other omens are ignored, then you're kind of fast tracked back to the castle, you know, to the court or whatever. And then this omen will appear. So there's all these kind of interesting things there. So what I mean to say is that the GM does not have a pile of preordained story, and
yes, it seems everything you need is here.
Mm-hmm.
This generates your reason for questing your.
But this is the nice thing is that it's like Chris has done before. You know, the characters have a role in shaping the perspective or the position of the world that they occupy, and I think that's nice, because it links the GM and the players together in a certain way, and it creates hopefully a kind of a healthy kind of interaction between them of what the aims are, what's coming around the corner, you know, what the challenge
is. Well, that's it. I mean, it seems to me the knights have a calling and the terrain they're exploring reflects that.
The next page says the crown. I see. So that's the double spread. And then I've got six omens. I mean, do we roll for these, do you think?
This is the thing. The omens suggested something. So my omens, from omen three onwards, when an omen is rolled, a horn is heard across the realm. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so my Iron Knight has got the crown. No crown brings peace. This one, the very least. And what's your accompanying page then for the Iron Knight?
Mine is the tournament.
That's the tournament. Okay, okay.
So you've got your omens and cast. I didn't actually read that.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting. So these are NPCs that would find their way for good or ill into the fray.
Like, you know, sort of bespoke NPCs.
Yeah. Tiger. I've got my tiger spider there. That's good.
Oh, so right. I see. Yes, it relates to that.
Okay, I'm gonna roll an omen just for fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Four, the herald. So this is the crown one. The herald is beset by tiger spiders. D6 attacking openly. A further D6 lurking nearby, waiting to pounce. You going to roll an omen, Spencer?
Yes, I'll roll an omen. Yeah. Four, the company compete all together, paired against a company of clockwork knights.
Oh.
It is a mounted battle, melee weapons only, competitors eliminated if they take a mortal wound.
Nice. So they kind of build these chivalric scenes or of heroism or whatever, don't they? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? And I've got some whispers as well. Have you got some whispers?
No, I don't believe I have. Where are the whispers?
Just under the cast on the right-hand side. So I've got the crown whispers. So maybe this is special.
Oh, right, I see.
The crown.
Yeah.
So the crown will whisper a warning that the city is a lie. The city is a lie. And the suggestion to handle this, to deal with this, is to listen to the seers. Listen to your seer. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, because I've got clockwork quirks here.
Ah, is that your table in the bottom right?
Yeah, that's my table.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's...
So,
let's have it.
Yeah, I've got body and behaviour. So let's have a roll. Roll a six. Extra fast can deny, which I assume is a feat, stiff and jerky behaviour.
Nice. Okay, so we're exactly not in Bastion. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Is there anything else, or should we just have a quick bash at imagining ourselves meeting in the tavern, or
we could do that if you like. Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of still, I'm not sure whether I've enlightened anyone going through this, because I have more questions than answers.
Well, I think, it's good to question the value of the episode towards the end of the episode.
Yes. I mean, yes. Yes.
That's always the way to do it. You know, fishing for messages. Like, no, Spencer, it was great. It was wonderful. Just to say, I think, you know, I've had a good time. I hope you've had a good time. I think this is a constructive thing for humanity, what we're doing.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And you know, I think, well, you know, going back to the whole idea of the social, really, which many other of our associates and peers also do, you know, creating characters gives, I don't know, gets you into the world or gets you into the game or both of those or whatever. We've got a Fox Knight and an Iron Knight. I mean, priceless. It's priceless.
We've got civilization sparks here. I wonder if...
Oh, my goodness. Go on, then. Give us a spark. Give us a spark there.
There we go. Roll 2d12. I've got a dice tray. A foolish move.
Just a dinner tray.
Well, it's a table. It's a table, so I'm lucky I haven't thrown anything across the floor yet.
A dice table. It's great to have a dice table, isn't it? That's great.
Well, it's not a dice table. It's a dining table.
Oh, a dining... Okay.
I do have a dice tray that I've not brought with me. That's the problem I'm dealing with.
I just use a beret.
Okay. So, rare havens of timber and stone filled with joy and turmoil. Roll 2d12 on the spark table and combine the results for an improvisational prompt. So let's say we're in a Bailey and I've rolled 12, Immaculate Garden. We're in a garden.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
Maybe outside a tavern, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, what if we... we've got mutual aristocratic contacts and we've been invited to their garden party.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's immaculate. So
schmoozing.
Schmoozing, absolutely. So we get talking. Perhaps there's an intermediary there, perhaps. Okay.
Well, I've got a people table. If I could roll up.
Yeah, do it, yeah.
You know, someone who we're chatting with.
Yep.
Our mutual friend appearance is hard and functional, so maybe some kind of security.
Okay.
His voice is erratic and boisterous.
Okay. Yeah.
Personality is righteous and interest in animals.
Okay.
So his demeanor is righteous and he has an interest in animals. So maybe he's boring us with talk of the local fauna.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have
that could be enough, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, there's task. Let's have a look at task. Mm-hmm. For transport, and the subject is animals. So he transports animals.
Okay.
And he's maybe boring us to tears with his talk of carting livestock around, perhaps.
Could we be kind of, roped in on a slightly hush-hush animal transport mission where we've got...
Yeah, a bit of rustling, perhaps.
Yeah, we've got to accompany some animals somewhere.
Mm. I'm seeing pigs. I'm not sure why.
Okay.
Accompanying pigs.
Yeah. I just imagined pigs which are incredibly attractive to wild boars.
Okay. So we're having to fight off amorous boars, are we?
Yeah.
We've got pheromones flying around all over the place. Yeah. And,
in this world, in this day and age, you don't want your wild boars mixing your domestic pigs, do you really?
No. Sullying the stock. These are a protected breed.
My feeling is that I'm over the hill, but I don't like to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of try and make myself conspicuous and appear to be busy, but really I'll kind of take on any job with a whiff of honor about it. I'm getting my pension. It's just to keep up appearances, really. So nothing too strenuous, but at the same time, so it's got a little bit of honor. The honor among pigs is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Really. yeah Noble Beasts. Yes, and I guess I'm kind of sort of a fresh-faced individual who's, you know, sees this as all quite exciting and quite a responsibility.
Oh, and of course, we rolled for characters that are meant to be starting out, but I guess with my character, it's more like finishing off.
Well, perhaps, yeah, perhaps he's just late. to the party as okay. far as questing is concerned.
Okay, you know, yeah.
Maybe he's a bit of a kind of a Don Quixote.
Yeah.
He's lived a life and now he's wants adventure.
Okay. So the clarity, in fact, is this almost like this kind of vision, of this vision of becoming a knight, but spirit and vigor really don't support that aspiration. Okay. So a young 75-year-old or something like that.
Indeed, yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And so, and I somehow think there's got to be some situation where got to go through the forest, hence the need for the protection of the pigs.
Right. So let's have a look. Nature sparks.
You know, are we even talking about pigs in chastity belts? Is that
possibly? I was thinking, like, you know, crates or you know, cages.
Yeah.
But if you want to go the whole hog, put chastity belts.
Well, I mean, it would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? It'd be ridiculous. Anyway, okay, Nature Sparks, Spencer.
So let's have a look. Land. So we decided we're going through woodland.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see if we can jazz that up a little bit. 8, soft, 3, crags. I'm not sure how that works. It was quite, you know, there's some rock formations in this woodland that are moss covered,
okay,
that gives them a soft appearance. And fauna, mighty reptiles. Wow.
Okay.
So kind of a, I don't know, maybe some Komodo dragons stomping around.
Mm-hmm.
Or something even more terrifying, basilisks.
What if we need to deliver the pigs to them?
Who, the reptiles?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they can't they have to be pure pigs.
Pure pigs.
Pure pigs who've had no dealings with wild boars.
Indeed.
And you know, you're talking about the moss covered rocks and things. You know, could we have moss boars or something? So they can appear disguised in with the moss boulders.
They look like they're boulders, and before you know it,
they're mounting.
They're on your, yes, they're mounting your sows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good job they've got their belts on.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. You can't be too careful.
Well, we've got a work cut out for us there.
Yeah, I think we do. What do you think our characters will have bonded on? What do you think be a connection. You know, I mean, an obvious thing could be that your young fox knight is somehow impressed by the age of the Iron Knight, but very quickly the fox is going to realize that this guy hasn't got a clue or very many marbles.
Yes, I can imagine I'm on the verge of figuring that out quite early on. Having sort of committed to this this job, I feel as if perhaps you talked me into it, and then I'm regretting that.
And I had that whole thing, didn't I? The crown, or the city is a lie. Maybe, seeing as so many knights are looking for the city, perhaps we need to work out our own alternative theory to get to the entrance, the portcullis, the gates. Do you feel there's anything from your character that might, you know, something to add to the conspiracy theory? Or you got your clockwork stuff.
Yes, yes, there's the clockwork knights.
Do you think the clockwork knights are on your side, or are they, there's something you...
No, I believe they're...
against you.
Yes, I get the distinct impression that these are rivals that I've been repeatedly coming up against.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to be in for me.
So maybe...
But I'm struggling to link that to, yes, the rest of what's going on.
So do you think your character's already encountered the clockwork knights before then?
I've had trouble with them in the past. Perhaps that may be where I come in contact with the Iron Knight. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've helped me out with them in the past.
Okay. We could have some excitement that at the garden party, you know, a unit of clockwork knights turn up and they're looking for your character.
What, and we've got make to, ourselves scarce?
Absolutely.
Or,
we've got to make ourselves scarce, yeah. So perhaps there's kind of no time for bonding in that sense. It's more a kind of circumstantial thing. And my character will do, you know, anything for honour. And your wily fox seems like a...
Yes, who's a I wouldn't say honour was high on his list. He's more interested in ducking and diving.
Mm-hmm.
As the fox knight.
So maybe need to go undercover, or we need to lie low for a while or something. And that's where we get, you know, this kind of silly pig job.
Yeah, good excuse to get out of town.
So traveling a bit incognito, staying off the beaten track, but something's going to happen with delivering these pure pigs to the basilisk.
I'm just thinking, Barney, I'm going to have to go in a few minutes.
Totally fine. Me too. We've done it. Spencer, thank you so much for
thank you.
Having me.
It's a pleasure. Always fun to have a bit of a social with you. And I clearly need to delve further into these rules. And
I would summarize this by saying that I'm surprised to see so much more stuff in there. And at the same time, I'm pleased because I guess I didn't want the next Bastion book to just be a repeat of what's come before. So
it's certainly very different. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to play it. And when it's finally out, maybe you'll rise.
Sir. Well, possibly. It seems to have a lot of support for the referee, and it does, you know, lean into that sort of improvisational.
Well, I was going to say aspirational, but, you know, whatever. Super. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much, Barney.
See you soon.
That's probably a good point to end things there, given that the next scene would have probably been an almost certain fatal encounter with a pack of amorous, moss-covered wild boars. And nobody needs to hear about that. Thanks again to Barney for joining me for this Bastion Social. Let's not leave it quite so long next time. Well, that's quite enough from me. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate all the messages I receive. If you'd like to contact me, any questions, feedback or requests, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an audio message via speakpipe.com spencer.freethrall.com/keepoffthebalderlands, or one word, or you can email me at spencer.freethrall@gmail.com. You can also find me on Discord and a variety of other places as detailed in the show notes. If you enjoy the show, a review or a share would be much appreciated. The music for Keep Off the Borderlands is provided by the multi-talented Mr. TJ Drennan. And it just remains for me to say, take it away, TJ.
Warning, if celebrating the sound of dice hitting the table and pondering the meaning of the many acronyms within your player's handbook doesn't cure that burning sensation, please see your doctor.